Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? I want to take a few moments this morning to introduce you to somebody who I met just actually recently. And after hearing his story, I wanted to introduce all of us in this place to him. And this is Dennis Weens, and Dennis has served the International Church, the Global Church, for most of his life. And in several countries of the world, he has blessed the church and worked for the church, and he is here today to tell us a little bit about the ministry that he represents called SAT7. When he told me about this ministry, I said, Dennis, you have to come and talk to our church about it. So for the next few moments, I'm going to have him explain to you what SAT7's about. But before we do, will you give a good, hearty Tiffany Fellowship welcome to Dennis Weens?
Good to be here. Thank you, Pastor.
Dennis, tell us a little bit about your background. Give us like a 45-second bio.
Well, it's a lot to fit in 45 seconds, but because I'm one of those called MK or TCK, Third Culture Kids. Yeah. I grew up, my folks worked with the church in Sub-Saharan West Africa. So at 3 months old, I became a missionary with my folks in Africa. And I came back to my passport country for college. And in college, I met my wife, Cindy.
Cindy, will you just wave to everybody? This is Cindy.
My folks couldn't come to our wedding, so I thought it'd be great to take her to Timbuktu on our wedding, on our honeymoon. That's a real town in Mali. And our first cruise was a riverboat up the Niger River. It sounded good until they broke down and we got food poisoning and thought we were dying on our honeymoon.
That's terrible.
She stuck with me 51 years. I've been trying to redeem myself, but Cindy's got a new ministry in retirement. Thrive Ministry, helping American women in ministry around the world, and they have retreats and bring these women in that are tired, and after 4 days, they return to their ministries thriving.
Nice.
And encouraged. And so she's got a global ministry again, and so it's good to be here with you. So we went to Africa for 27 years, working with the church, working in leadership development, and turned that over to the church, and 23 years ago, we joined this ministry, SAT7.
So tell us about SAT7. What is it all about? Who's tuning in? And how can we tune in?
Okay, you're seeing the pictures there. That's actually a picture I took in Fez, Morocco, of satellite dishes. 30 years ago, satellite technology was just coming into the broader Middle East and North Africa. Saudi Arabia is one of the countries, Egypt. They couldn't stop people setting up satellite dishes, so they joined the movement, launched their own satellites. It's amazing technology. This is Fez, Morocco. You can't pass out literature. You can't witness publicly. You got to be careful. But there's no technology to block satellite TV, so we can go into the home of literally anybody with a satellite dish, and it's the priority purchase of every family. So SAT7, 30 years ago, as we looked at missions. The founder, Dr. Terence Ascott, a British fella, has an engineer. I was working in the Middle East and saw the opportunity where, you think of missions, it's worked all over the world, but the model hasn't worked as well in the Middle East and North Africa, so there needed to be a different approach in the Middle East, need to be a new narrative. And so SAT7 is a broadcast media ministry. Our vision is to see a growing church in the Middle East and North Africa, a church that's confident in its faith and in its witness, a church that's contributing to its culture and to its society. And a lot of times a church, capital C, doesn't invest in social issues, but in the Middle East we take on a lot of the social issues, education, disability. And the problem in the Middle East, when they look at Christianity, in Western Christianity, they see what's going on in America, they see the politics, they see the movies out of Hollywood, and they perceive everything in America to be the values of Western Christians. Western Church. And so they don't want anything to do with what they perceive to be decadent Western Christianity. But if you can separate the biblical message from perceptions, the gospel resonates with people. And so this message of God's unconditional love, this message of forgiveness, this message of hope and purpose and meaning that we can share with people are themes that draw people to what we have to offer them. And so SAT7, we're on, you can go to the next slide. We'll show the map. The red countries are the Arabic countries. We have two channels, two satellite TV channels in Arabic. on the Egyptian satellite. The first channel is Arabic. The first that started 30 years ago, the first week was 2 hours. And the second week, they couldn't produce another 2 hours, so we had to repeat the first hours, first broadcast. But we've been growing ever since. And we always had a commitment to children's programming. So in the first 2 hours, 15 minutes was dedicated to children's programming. And we allow children and youth and millennials to produce for their peers.
Wow.
And so as we grew, we added a second channel, Sat7 Kids, and allowing youth and millennials and young people to produce these programs for their peers across the Middle East. In the beginning, everybody said, well, it's a bad idea. It's going to put Christians on screen. They're going to become targets. But it's proven to be tremendously successful to witness. We haven't been the targets. The ministry continues to grow. Then we launched the third channel, and that's Sat7 PARS. That's the black countries there, the dark blue. We're on an Iranian-owned satellite, Yasat.
Wow.
And it's the most viewed satellite over Iran, Afghanistan, Tajikistan. And then we're on the government-regulated satellite of Turkey, Turksat. That's the yellow countries there. So we have five studios across the Middle East, Istanbul, Beirut, Egypt, Cyprus, where we allow the church in the Middle East to make their claim to a biblical Christianity.
Wow.
In a culturally relevant, appropriate, positive way. And so we don't do on-air comparisons. We don't get into that dynamic. We simply are a voice for authentic biblical Christianity, and we want the church to make their claim.
Mm.
And so we don't repackage Western content, and so we're producing all this content. And so the distribution model is satellite, the biggest distribution of content that there is. But we're also in digital, and we also have a global app. And let me show you, we're on an Iranian satellite, right? Let me show you a live feed on the Iranian satellite. And this is available to anybody globally. So here's Iranian satellite. Let it catch up here. This is in Persian for Iran, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, available globally.
Wow.
And so you can share it with your friends. We also have Sat7 Kids, which is live off the Egyptian satellite for, and the mothers like that channel, it's positive values. And so we're heavily invested in digital, and then we're heavily invested in social media. You all use Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We have platforms. We used to have like 120 Facebook groups, fan clubs. We've shut those down. We have six brands. All of our content now is feeding into six Facebook brands. And we do live worship in Arabic, for example, on the weekend, like we're doing here this morning. But we do it live on Facebook, streaming in Arabic. And in one North African country, over 150,000 will join that worship feed.
Wow.
And we do a live feed for in Dari for Afghanistan. And we'll have close to 200,000 in those feeds on social media. So there's no boundaries anymore if we can think creatively.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people listen to the news, and the news isn't good. And as we sit in churches, I find that a lot of Christians sitting in the pews are being brought in or drawn into a secular worldview of hopelessness.
Yeah.
And yet, wherever we can share the gospel, wherever the gospel is, there's hope. And so we see so much hope for the Middle East. But we have to think differently. We have to approach it differently. We have to do it differently. But we're on government satellites. We have contracts. They know what we're doing. But, you know, in this, we have to be very careful. But we've never, as a ministry, had to deny our faith or our gospel witness.
Amen.
And so it's a tremendous opportunity for the church today across the Middle East and North Africa. So as you listen to the news, pray through the news, because amazing things are happening. I was speaking at a church like this, and afterwards, preaching Sat7, afterwards, an Arab came up, wanted to talk to me. And the Arab said that he had been with ISIS in Iraq.
Whoa.
And his assignment was to attack the church. And it was in the time when there were a lot of bombings in marketplaces, mothers, children blown up in marketplaces. But his assignment was to decode the church and attack the church. So as he watched satellite TV and church services, he was drawn into women in worship, but they had this joy in their face he had never experienced. He didn't know what that was. But he was drawn to what he saw in their expression and their hope that came through their expression on their face. And so he was on a mission to find out what that was that they had that he didn't have, the power of satellite television. It wasn't an apologist. It wasn't a pastor. It was a choir and women singing about their faith that drew him to faith.
Wow.
And his journey. Well, ISIS realized that their mission wasn't working very good, and so this fellow had to flee, and he found, you know, third country. He was encountered by the gospel, and today he's a pastor.
Wow.
But his journey of faith started.
Wow.
And it's amazing what's happening. There's another story, and I'm going to run out of time, but there's a young person in Syria. You all know Syria, how Russia was bombing cities and the devastation. Well, Jad came to Christ watching Sat7 Kids.
Wow.
He was like 16-year-old. And as he watched, he came to Christ. But he couldn't even tell his folks. He's a Christian.
Hmm.
So Sat7's programming is geared to helping these young people grow in their faith. And one day they'll be strong enough to share their faith with their parents. And that's happened to Jad. Now he's strong enough, he can share it. He's even found a church and been baptized. But there's a whole generation of young people across the Middle East that have come to faith through social media and through apps and through television. And so we're discipling them. So as you listen to the news, pray through the news. God is doing an amazing work beyond the headlines that you're listening to every day. So there's hope for the Middle East.
Dennis, you told a story in the nine, and I know we're past our time, but I want you to tell it now about how during the bombings in ISIS, you guys switched over to doing some educational programming.
Right. In Syria, a number of years ago, ISIS, Al-Qaeda were closing schools, blowing up schools. Teachers became IDPs, internally displaced peoples. And so children were out of education for like 5 years. And the United Nations called them a lost generation, because without education, the hope of the future and everything. So we took cameras in the classroom, filmed 90 minutes, and put it on a satellite. And it was very, very successful, and provided free education for all Arabic speakers, refugee kids. And then what we found, wasn't our focus, but what we found, like, mothers in Egypt would bring their kids to social centers or churches or where they could watch. Mothers begin to learn how to read and write, because as girls, they weren't allowed education by their governments.
Wow.
And so it's changed the whole dynamic. And so as a Christian broadcaster, we can take on social issues, big issues from our Christian values, Christian worldview, and bring change to culture and to society. So we've got an annual report. We did this already.
Tell us about this card.
Okay, this card is, you know, I showed you the app here.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the app, Sat7 Plus. All of our content on our satellites is streaming live globally. And so pick up one of these cards and find a Persian speaker, find an Arabic speaker, and then open it up, let them listen, and ask them what's being said, and pretty soon you'll have a conversation.
Yeah.
And don't attack, don't criticize, don't start an argument, just have a gospel conversation. You're going to hear some amazing stories. I was flying into Kansas City a month ago, and I was on a standby, so I was sitting in the back row in the middle, and not my favorite place, but an Arab sitting next to me, and he listened to Arabic on his iPad the whole flight, and he turned it off as we were landing. So we got talking. And so I opened the app and let him see the app and talk to what we were doing. We were talking French, of course, and amazing. He told me that he actually is a viewer. It's just a conversation I'm having on a plane landing in Kansas City.
Wow.
So have conversations. I've actually been to his hometown. And so pretty amazing. And so you'll hear some amazing stories of what Sat7 is doing across the Middle East and North Africa.
Great. Thank you. Do you appreciate this ministry? Excellent. Dennis is going to be available in the lobby to answer any questions. You can pick up a card. And if you feel led to give a little bit extra, we're going to leave a good honorarium and gift to Sat7 Ministry. But if you want to give extra, just mark your envelope that way, and we'll make sure that Sat7 gets that. Once again, thank you, Dennis. God bless you. Brittany, who Charlie Kirk's killing, and I said, well, that's next week. So if you're here for that, I apologize. I want to invite you back next week. This is Mission Split Sunday. It's Global Impact Sunday. We've been planning it for months. We have missionary guests here. next Sunday I'm going to do that, but that gives you a week to pray about it, invite somebody. If you run into somebody who is concerned, somebody who has questions, wonders, what is a Christian biblical response to what we're seeing in our culture today, invite them to church next Sunday, and I'm going to be giving the whole entire message over to that. We're going to talk, don't come to hear Pastor Barry's opinion. We're going to hear God's opinion out of the Word. Amen? Okay. Now, if you're joining us via our online campus, while you're welcome here today, we will not be showing you the media pictures presented for security purpose for our next missionary guests who are coming. So, because we're dealing with missionaries who are ministering in hostile environments, in hostile countries, countries that are hostile to the gospel. Sometimes to obey Jesus' word, to take the gospel to the ends of the world, we have to go to places that are dangerous. And so our next missionary guests we're going to be introducing to you this morning are just those types of missionaries. And so I would just ask you, if you take a picture, please don't post what you see here online, because there are some people who are really in danger of losing their lives over that. So we welcome you to enjoy the message and the presentation, but please don't post anything online. Let me quickly introduce our main Global Impact Sunday speakers for today. Nolan and Cami Sanders have been veteran AG missionaries for close to 16 years. They have served the gospel in some of the most hostile countries of the world. We have had the privilege of supporting them since their first foreign assignment. Nolan and Cami were with us in 2016. And let me just ask, does anybody here remember when they were here? Ooh, we had a couple in the 9, nobody in the 11. It's just brand new territory. It's
impacting.
Well, I'm sure they just, you know, this church is so exciting. It's just hard to keep up with everything, but and so you're going to meet some great missionaries this morning. They're back today to tell us about what God's doing through their ministry endeavor. So will you welcome to this platform Nolan and Cami Sanders. Bless you. Love you guys. Love you guys. Bless you.
Good morning, everybody. It is wonderful to be with you, and we're so thankful to Pastor Barry. Indeed, your church started supporting us before you met us, and that's pretty unusual and pretty stinking amazing, kind of like how devoted all of you are to a specific team. And I'm all about the Chiefs today, and that's our life. We are all about whoever we are with. Yeah, but it really is an honor to be here. And Global Impact Sunday is one of our favorite types of Sundays to be with churches. It really is. Because we're excited about all the world, actually. We're excited about seeing the name of Jesus go everywhere. We're excited about believers who become disciples, who make more disciples. We love partners like Sat7, and we just love people. So we can love Chiefs fans. That's the end result right there. But you guys have been a part of that. Your church is a mission-supporting church. You support dozens of missionaries and ministry efforts. You have responded to disasters. You have responded with gifts to specific needs when it's been put before you. You are an example of what it is to give as a community together. And I looked out, I learned about BGMC trading cards. That is an amazing display. How many students in here have ever participated in something for Speed the Light? How many men have ever given to something called Light for the Lost? Any of this, those types of ministries have helped us through the years, from printing and publishing to technology. Our first vehicle overseas was a Speed the Light silver bullet scooter. We had to buy the helmets ourselves. But that was our first vehicle bought by Speed the Light and students like you. And so we're super excited to have been here. So you guys are a missions-giving church, and I don't know whether you prefer high fives or fist pumps, but turn to somebody and say, we did it together. So today, when you make your faith promise commitments and when you give as you are able throughout the year, both on that commitment and the extra times the Lord asks you to give, that's what it does. It takes the good news of Jesus absolutely everywhere, and it enables that. So thank you so much for doing that. Cammy and I's 16-year missionary journey has crossed a lot of different countries and a lot of different people groups. When we talk about people groups, we're talking about you can have a country of 30 million people, but you could have 1,000 different unique groups within that country. Sometimes they have their own unique language, sometimes it's a dialect, but certainly they have their own culture and way of living and community way of interacting with each other. And they want and they need to express and know Jesus in their way. And so all around the world, you know, we think in terms of countries, but Jesus doesn't think in terms of countries. He says every nation, tribe, and tongue. So I want you to think about that, right? That's what it's about all around the world. So while we have worked among all of those, we truly hope and pray that we have been focused on the unreached and taking Jesus where it doesn't exist. And so when you think of the word missions or missionaries and both what we're doing right now and our brother and his wife are doing right now, we're not on the front lines in the same way we used to be. But what does it mean? It means that we are out there trying to take the name of Jesus to people who have not had the opportunity to know him. That means they haven't, through a scripture story or a message or the testimony of a person, been able in their heart to actually hear the voice of Jesus as he would look directly at them, just like he did Peter, James, and John, and Mary, and Martha, and say, come, follow me, be my disciple. That's what it's about, allowing people that opportunity with God's word and his spirit to hear that. And then they begin to gather in small groups of people. The scripture actually says two or three or more are gathered in their name, and they gather regularly together, and they start worshiping and knowing him and growing together and sharing with others. And then, you know, when there's a group of them together, we might actually call them a simple little what? Church. Is they practice who Jesus is together. And all around the world, that's been happening today and yesterday and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every night of the week, every day of the week, in cafes, in parks, in living rooms, and under a banyan tree. People have been gathering in the name of Jesus. He sees them as a church. We see them as a church. And there's great obstacles around the world. It can be a dominant religion that hates the name of Jesus. It can be a dominant regime or government style that hates the name of Jesus. And we have to try to overcome those obstacles. What will it take for them to hear and know Jesus? What will it take? And so you hear all kinds of opportunities. We respond with compassion ministries when we're allowed into those places and those peoples. We have people that are teaching English, starting businesses, whatever it takes to try to get access to see the first fruits of Jesus in those countries. We want to see those obstacles overcome so that people have access to the name and knowledge of Jesus. Today we're going to share some stories of what God is doing, what we're doing, a little bit also, of course. We want to, we want to give you an opportunity also to maybe hear Jesus say, hey, I need a worker here so that you could be a sent one. And at the end of the service today, Pastor Barry is going to ask you to send one in your participation.
You know, just hearing the phrase Arab world may cause a certain reaction. Our stomach drops. Maybe we feel anger or confusion. Maybe we feel fear or just numbness. Their mosques intimidate us. Their yard is sand and not grass. They restrict what we would call the simplest freedoms. And they eat differently than we do. But we want to remind you today that they love to laugh and they love to play. and some of them are our dearest friends. And they love it when we bless their children. And they, like us, worry about their children's future. The Arab world is where 300 million Muslims live. Now, this represents 361 unreached people groups. With only 250 Assemblies of God workers in that part of the world, that means 1,200,000 Muslims for one worker. If we combined all the workers from other denominations, that would still mean only one worker for 400,000 Muslims. So how can such an overwhelming need be met? Jesus said to pray for laborers. He said the harvest is ready, and the harvest in the Arab world is also ready, but they need a miraculous provision to meet the harvest need. Part of that answer is you in this room today. And we also believe that part of that answer is the lost people that live in these cultures right now. We believe they are the loaves and fish in Jesus' hand. And when they find Jesus, they will be broken. But they will also be multiplied out because they will share Jesus with their friends and neighbors and families, and this spiritual hunger will be met. The kind of miracle that we're describing when the people of their culture reach their own people is called a multiplying movement, and we want to share a little bit more about that.
There's a story about some fishermen, an anecdotal one that maybe you've heard, whose area where they were fishing was being overpopulated with starfish, who were eating all the little baby fish and was threatening their way of survival. So they decided to do something they normally wouldn't have prior, and that was that every time they caught a starfish in their nets, they decided they would take care of the problem. And so they cut the starfish up into pieces and threw it back overboard. Does anybody know what happens if you cut a starfish into pieces? What happens? So if you cut a starfish in five pieces, it becomes five starfish. And thus they multiplied their problem in their effort to solve it. The closed country in which we worked had many different people groups, one of whom was actually an ancient Orthodox people group, the Armenian people group. And for centuries, they had been allowed to live and worship in their churches safely within that country and given a measure of religious freedom inside the Muslim country. But about 35 years ago, something happened. There was a movement of God's Spirit. It actually started with one man who God gripped and said, we have to start praying for God to do something in our nation, not just in our people group. And they started. It was a 24-hour prayer time that eventually started. And God began to burden the Armenian people that were in these churches with a heart for their neighbor for the first time in centuries. And pretty soon, these churches were being flooded with their Muslim neighbors, hungry and thirsty for Jesus. Obviously, the government did not appreciate this new movement. And as these churches were growing, there were often people standing outside the windows of the buildings so that they could hear. And so the government said, no more allowing anybody except for your people group inside your churches. So they started sending the people into homes, and they started house churches instead. And those began to grow even faster than the prior services had begun to grow. So the government said, we'll take care of it by imprisoning all of the church leaders and martyring several of them prominently across the denominations within in the country. And they begin to monitor them. Do you know what, have any idea what happened? Those little new believers in Jesus said, you can do that, but we still have Jesus. We have everything we need. And the church inside that country has absolutely multiplied so many exponentially times over. Sounds a little bit like the starfish story, doesn't it? As those people take place, what happened? Normal people, brand new believers in Jesus. Now, this is actually more about this is more than about just this one story of persecution and how it multiplied. What this is really about is what can happen anywhere all over the world. Whenever a disciple of Jesus realizes that they too can make a disciple of Jesus. That Jesus actually wasn't just talking to 12 apostles in Matthew 28. That he actually was talking at everybody he saw and into the future when he said some very famous words. He says to all of his disciples these words. Are you ready? Go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's for all of us. And that's what we're talking about here. Persecution may have been the catalyst, but the response was that every person suddenly knew that Jesus was asking them to make a disciple. I can tell you that these types of multiplying movements into these small, little, simple churches in the last 5 years has led to 60 million believers and somewhere around 8 or 9 million of these simple, little, small churches. 10 million of those in the Arab world alone. In fact, in the Arab world, there's one of these countries that saw around 100,000 Muslims come to know Jesus. It's a people group that's been very vilified in the news over the last couple of decades. But God has just been moving among them. In fact, they then started to be dispersed. They have now taken the gospel to 44 extra other countries as they went. In fact, we've seen them, Muslim background people, sharing Jesus and baptizing Jews. Somebody say, well, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And it sounds really familiar to what happens in the book of Acts. And it's talking about the martyrdom of Stephen. And it says, and Saul approved of their killing him. Saul would later become Apostle Paul. On that great day, persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. And those who had been scattered, and those means everybody else, that means you, me, whoever was in that in those places, those churches, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. That's what we're beginning to see taking place around the world. It's happening just like that. I know it's not in the news, but believe it. Because whatever our perception is from the news and the feelings that we get, there's another famous verse that is still true for every single person on the face of this earth. And it says, for God so loved the world that he's not willing that any black, white, red, yellow, taxi driver, literate, illiterate, in the mountains, in the city, living under a bridge, it doesn't matter. He's not willing that any should perish. That's still the good news and the message of Jesus.
So these multiplying movements are what we long to see sweep through a whole culture of people. And we're doing everything we can to facilitate that. But you might wonder, how does this even begin? Well, it begins with a very simple step, and that is being a true disciple of Jesus. But what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? A disciple of Jesus is a follower of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus make disciples. That's the number one first thing. A disciple of Jesus makes disciples of Jesus. They share the gospel with others, not because they're missionaries or pastors or church leaders, but because they're following Jesus. They help others and invite them to a growth track, others to be an obedient follower of Jesus, because they are an obedient follower of Jesus. Followers of Jesus are doing like we're doing. They meet together so they can grow together. And they become a church. Okay, so how do they be the church? Like, I know how to go to church. I know how to do church. I grew up in it. But how do I be the church? If I be the church with other believers, that's healthy. That is a healthy church. Now, in the closed country where we were at, this is a picture representing some of that, we asked ourselves, could a small group of people, a small group of believers, become a healthy house church, healthy enough to multiply, even in the midst of an oppressive government? Multiplying movements need the right ingredients. So a small group of believers like this, they need to have the same elements of the early church, like Nolan was talking about. The early church knew how to be the church. It's all they knew. They had nothing else. They may not have had all that we have this morning, right? They didn't have all that we have this morning, but they had the right ingredients to spread the gospel around the world. Let me read for you what they had. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And to each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. There was a unity of devotion in the early church, a devotion to God and a devotion to one another. And these ingredients formed a pattern for the early church to follow, to continue in those simple ingredients: prayer, fellowship, generosity, worship, teaching, the Holy Spirit, water baptisms, communion, and gospel sharing. We have found that this is the pattern, a simple pattern that emerges if we make room for it. So Nolan and I and our team, we had to eliminate all the extras, the assumptions, the Western perspective of what church looks like, and just make room for a small group of believers who didn't need programs and buildings and just needed to learn how to be the church together. But still, in the midst of that, when we saw these small groups starting to multiply out into this oppressed country, we wondered if there was more that we could do to resource them so that it would sweep a whole country and that country would touch the next country.
As Cammie said, as we saw that gospel and church work spreading inside the closed country, and we knew that they needed these simple practices of being the church, we looked to how we could resource them. And we had done printing. We'd done it outside the country. We'd done it inside the country. So we'd done the smuggling over the border and the trying to distribute in. But printing is always expensive. It's always dangerous. Distribution is a whole other problem. And you can't keep up with it ultimately. You just can't keep up with it ultimately. And we said, we want to make sure that whatever we give, that that person realizes that they have a vision for making disciples of other people, that they know that they have permission to do it. They don't need to ask anybody if they can go make a disciple. And that they would have the confidence, so something in their hand that would say, hey, I have what I need. I have the scripture. I have some simple resources and guides to be able to do it. How could we do it in a way that would be as secure as possible in the country in which they live, kind of hidden from their government? But how, most importantly, how could it reproduce from person to person to person to person without causing money every time it took place? And so obviously we turned and looked at what is in all of your pockets, and it is the phone. How many of you have already sent your first message or received your first message of the day? How many of you sent a photo or something already? Anybody post on some? Yeah, there you go. Thank you for confessing. Nobody in first service was willing to confess. Because we are actually made and created by God to share I know toddlers struggle with sharing, but we are wired to share with others. And so we looked at the phone that was in the pocket. And to start with, for our closed country, we built a single app for Android phones. And Android allows us to share it from phone to phone without touching the internet. And it could go safely and kind of protect itself a little bit in between there so that the government couldn't spy. And that meant that one person could freely pass it on to another person who could freely pass it on to another person. And we have no idea how far it goes. We aren't even able to track it. And it could be shared phone to phone. And as we did that and we began to see the effects of that first effort, something happened that actually changed the course of what we do in missions. And that was other groups said, hey, we have a need. We have simple discipleship materials for our country. Could you help us put our materials for our country into an app also? And pretty soon that began to grow, and we began to realize we didn't need to create an app. We needed to create an app factory so that we could service any language in any people group as simple as possible. Now, most of you have on your phone apps that really are just mega apps. If you have Facebook or TikTok or whatever the app is, it's an app that's meant to serve 1 billion people at a shot, but we're not talking about that kind of app. We're talking about making it so simple that if there's a small group, people group of 4, 5, 10,000 speakers only, it's simple enough that there can be a scripture discipleship app put in that language for just them. We're not looking to serve all the mega audiences. We're just looking to serve all audiences to make it as simple as possible. We're now in about over 40 different apps, somewhere over 30 languages. I can't list them. I've lost track, and I pronounce them badly anyway. But I can tell you that God is at work. I can tell you a little bit about this one. This is an app that was built for an Asian country. I'm showing it up there because it is publicly safe to share. And it was created for those speakers that lived in villages, up in the mountains, and away from very good internet connectivity. And what you're seeing there is right after they built the app and they were training these village people and leaders of these small groups to take it back to their people. The one picture you're looking at is how easy it is to create an app. He's actually creating and recording all the audio that went into that app. Right there, wearing a winter jacket and a stocking cap. I will say we had to remove some chicken noises from the back of that one. But that's how easy it was for them to produce it. In fact, the dear friend who created this app for their people recently was in one of those small churches visiting for the first time. A group of brand new believers that had started to grow together. And she showed up and they said, oh, great, she's here. Now she can lead our service today. And she said, actually, I want to give you a gift so that you can lead it and grow yourself. And she gave them that app in their language and let them put it on their phone. And they said, what a gift. What a joyous gift it is for them. And that's the goal. It's not about us. We disappear from the picture. Nobody knows our name. Nobody knows who created it. And we don't really care. The goal of that worker that created it is that it spreads and nobody knows her name, because ultimately, whether it's Sat7 and a satellite or it's an app or it's a piece of paper, it comes down to those people who become disciples of Jesus, have what they need to go make a disciple of Jesus somewhere else, gather into small groups and grow into these churches of Jesus. Let me share another story from a former Soviet country in Eastern Europe. We had a friend there that was working near the university, and she actually started this study with some young women who come where they would normally be marginalized and pushed down in their cultures, and she started sharing and discipling them. At one point, she had four different languages represented in the single discipleship group, and she had four different language apps that she found from partners to be able to bring together, and they began to grow in Jesus together. And one of those young women from an Asian country graduated from university, but had felt and heard the voice of Jesus say, go make disciples. You can do it. Go make disciples. So she comes from Asia. She goes to Eastern Europe, where she's discipled to be a disciple maker. And from Eastern Europe, she gets hired in an Arab country in her field and goes down there to continue work and more education. And what does she take with her? She says, I'm taking with me an app in Arabic so that I can make disciples. That's the goal, right? That's the goal. That we create resources that can travel with anyone, everyone, everywhere. And we're so thankful and honored to be a part of that. And I have really good news for you. Jesus and Pastor Barry want you to know you can do this too. You too can be a disciple maker. Turn to your neighbor, say, you and I can do it. How many of you know a story of Jesus? Raise your hand. A story, singular. Great. You can do it. You only need one to start. That's all you need is just one to start to make a disciple. There is an app in English that we created to help people get an idea of how simple it is. It's called Pattern for Life. You can download it on Google Play or Apple App Store. It follows that same simple pattern that's being used in these multiplying movements all over the world. And I promise you, when you open it, you'll be able to think of sitting down with a few people that are interested in gathering with you, and you'll say, oh, I can do it. I do have what I need to help someone else discover and become a disciple of Jesus. Now turn to your neighbor again, say it. We can do it. We can do it. Now I will tell you that when you get into the app, it's going to ask you to identify things that God's Spirit wants you to obey and wants you to do. And it directly says, who does Jesus want you to share with this week? So if you don't want to be an obedient disciple of Jesus, don't download the app. But I know that you do. I know that you're here because you want to be a disciple of Jesus, not just a fan. You want to be a disciple who makes a disciple. How else can you partner with us? First of all, the best way you can partner with us is to go make another disciple. We might never know, but that will be our greatest joy ever. Go make a disciple. Second, we hope you'll become one of our prayer partners. We have prayer cards. You can scan that QR code. And we'd like to keep you up to date with it. Your church, Pastor Barry, if I can say it now, is committed to helping us do one of these apps in a language group that they don't have the funds to do it in. Turn to your neighbor, give him a hand, right? Yay. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor Barry, for doing that. Before Cammy shares a little bit more about you being a sent one, we have other needs, perhaps. When you look at missions trips around the world, you say, I don't think I'm very good at building things or doing some of those things, but maybe you're a developer, maybe you're a project manager, graphic designer, maybe you're something of that nature. We will survive and thrive in meeting the global need on having volunteers like yourself that are willing to help us in the ways that you have skills. So if you think you might want to be a part of this project in a different way, please do talk to us and send us an email.
We're closing now, and I know the Holy Spirit has already been speaking to our hearts in different ways. There's probably something uniquely different for each of us. But a thought that comes to my mind was my first time sharing the gospel. I was 5 years old. I probably didn't share very perfectly or anything, but I remember trembling in fear of being rejected. And I also remember being consumed by love so that I would do it anyway. Now, it's not because I'm special, but I was taught to pray surrender prayers. And you know what? We need to do this today. This is Global Impact Sunday. We need to pray surrender prayers. We need to say, God, I'm willing to share the gospel with anyone, anytime, any place. We need to surrender our children. Our children might be called out by God to go to some of these places, but unless we pray surrender prayers, there ain't no way Mama gonna let her go. I was reminded listening to John Easter, our national leader in the Assemblies of God World Missions, and he talked about in the book of Joel about sons and daughters, that in the last days, the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people, and the sons and daughters would prophesy. I believe that in this church, there are sons and daughters that are meant to go. I do. And I'm praying that that happens. But we need to not just pray surrender prayers, we need to pray send me prayers. We need to pray, God, send my children to the Arab world. Or we need to pray, God, send me. Send me to those people that nobody wants to go, or send me to that place that nobody wants to go to. Are you guys ready to pray that prayer? Pastor, would you come? And as we close, let's just take a 30-second moment to close our eyes right now. Let's settle into the Holy Spirit as Pastor is going to share and lead you in more. What is the Holy Spirit asking you to surrender? And what does your send me prayer sound like? Thank you for taking those moments. And I pray that from this moment forward, you will carry out a surrender prayer and a send me prayer. Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Nolan and Cammie. Do you receive that this morning? Let's indicate with an applause. She said, will you surrender your children? And then she looked right at me, and I thought, well, my kids are gone. All I have is grandkids. No way can you have my grandkids. But anything you give to God, anything you give, anything you surrender to God, He will use for His glory. Amen. You have in your hands or in your seats this afternoon what we call a faith promise card. And I will say it, this is probably the most important card that we will ever ask you to fill out. We also have them available online at the following QR code that you see on the screen. Let me say it this way. All of the missionaries we pledge to support are funded by your generous faith promise. God has truly blessed us as a church and blessed us individually, and I believe it's because we are faithful to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have been faithful. These faith promises are important because we set our missionary budget for the whole year based on your commitment. There are over 40 missionaries and missions organizations that receive annual support from us every year. They are counting on your generosity and your faithfulness. Every year I stand up on this platform and with insecurity in my heart say, Lord, one Sunday a year to raise our whole missionary budget. And I've heard people say, you need to take 20, 30 minutes and just pound it into your people, pound it. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm simply going to ask you, have asked you in the past, I've asked you to prayerfully consider what God would do through you this year for missions. Today, I want to ask you to prayerfully act. You can make a monthly pledge, you can make a weekly pledge or a one-time gift, you can fill out a card, you can turn it in. There are giving stations in the back attached to the back row. We're going to have some ushers there to help you. This morning we had people with cards, they didn't know where to put them. God forbid. We want to get those cards. And if not, you can use that QR code. I want to thank you for your faithful generosity. This church has never failed to rise to the global cause of Christ. I'm asking you to rise again. And let's do something for God this year greater than we've ever done before. I think greater things are ahead of us and in store for us. Join me in prayer. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for the generosity of these people who for time and time again have risen to the challenge. And even this morning in the 9 o'clock service when I felt led to just pledge one of those languages that don't have that app in their language yet. I know your people, God, are going to rise up, oh God, and become a part of this. God, we thank you, God, for their missionary fervor. Thank you for Dennis and his wife who come to us today representing SAT-7. Thank you for Nolan and Cammie, God, and what you've called them to do in developing this app. And God, I just pray that what we do in this moment right now as we pledge for next year, that you would receive honor and glory and fruit, fruit that will remain and be multiplied. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. And I give you glory and honor and praise for all of your generous people who are here today going to respond to this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me if you would. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come. We're going to conclude this service. Our worship team's going to sing a song. If you need prayer for anything this morning, please come. We'd love to pray with you. There are giving stations in the back as well as ushers at the back door with the plates. Act today. Leave a missionary pledge. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us in the Tiffany Fellowship Sermon Series. We truly hope that you were moved by the Word of God. It is our desire to see you built up in your faith, adding to the unity and strength of God's kingdom. You're invited to get connected at Tiffany Fellowship Church. If you're hearing the inspirational words of God for the first time, we would like to extend a helping hand in the decisions that are before you. So be encouraged to contact any of our staff members to meet and pray over the life-changing choices God has for you. As we close, our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, showing His kindness, compassion, and love to you. As well, if you are so moved, we would like to afford you the opportunity to give generously in support of this ministry and simply point to our available online giving opportunities. Be blessed in this day. Be continually encouraged by God's Word.